You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Kendall Keene, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones with Andrew Joseph and Scotty Bordelon.
Arkansas back at it this weekend with an 11 a.m. kickoff at Auburn. It'll be on SEC Network. Razorbacks trying to snap a six-game losing streak to the Tigers. They've lost, they haven't beaten Auburn since 2015, and they've lost these last six games by an average of 29 points, including 38-23 last year in Fayetteville. Matt Jones with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, Scotty Bordelon, and Andrew Joseph of WholeHogSports.com. Tom, you've been at all of these games during the losing streak, and there have been some that haven't been real pretty, and then, you know, the one where Arkansas was really competitive was 2 years ago down in Auburn, the game where Jason Autry and his officiating crew made the wrong call at the end of the game on the backward spike by Bo Nix. It just feels like, you know, there's two series that Arkansas has yet to get over the hump in. They got over the hump last year in A&M. There's Alabama, and that's at a completely different level than pretty much any other team that Arkansas has got these losing streaks against. And then there's Auburn, and it just feels like this is the week where if Arkansas is going to break this losing streak, this might be the week to do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there's been a couple of close games in these last 6 years, but I do feel like they think they can kind of carry their relative momentum into this game. And I think they feel like they match up well against Auburn from the standpoint of Auburn does not have a sophisticated big-time passing attack, and those are the teams that have just crushed Arkansas. And the game was close against Bama until Jalen Milroe went berserk running the ball. So I think from Auburn's perspective, they feel like if we're going to win a game, you know, down the stretch, this is one we can win. And Arkansas feels the same way. And, you know, neither one of these teams is that far off from being super competitive in the SEC West, particularly Arkansas, because A, they should have beaten A&M. And gave Bama a good run at it. Auburn, I think, is a little further away. That game against Missouri State, against Missouri, had to be one of the most hard-to-watch games of the season. But, I have a strong sense of justice. And I feel like you can never get back what was taken from Arkansas in 2020 because it was the game. So I think they'll be playing for a lot. There'll be incentive on that regard for this game for the Razorbacks.
Well, and you know that game just really, I mean, it's got to nag at Sam Pittman and his coaching staff. And a lot of these players were down there for that game 2 years ago. Like you said, it was a game that they had taken away from them. They finished 2020 with a 3-7 record. But, you know, anybody who watched that game probably believes that Arkansas should have four victories. Auburn wouldn't have had a chance to kick a game-tying field goal at the end, you know, barring like a botched snap or something as Arkansas is trying to take a kneel down. Otherwise, though, like we said, this hasn't been a very close series over the years. I mean, you think about the Gus Malzahn final couple of years against Brett Bielema, the years that he coached against Chad Morris. I'm looking at the final scores here, 56-3, 52-20, 34-3, 51-10, and then, like we said, 38-23 last year. It just hasn't been a very close series at all. But one of the things that I think they've struggled with, Auburn, has been when they've gone down there during normal times, and 2020 wasn't a normal time, has been the crowd. And the crowd is a really big factor when you go to Auburn. But this seems like this is going to be one of those games maybe more in line with when they went to Baton Rouge last year, and it was lame duck time with Ed Orgeron. Feels like we're kind of getting close to a lame duck period with Brian Harsin. I just don't know what to expect from a crowd perspective, even before you factor in the fact that it's an 11 a.m. kickoff, which always seems to hurt the home crowd. I just don't know what the enthusiasm is for Auburn football down there on the plains anymore.
Yeah, I'll comment briefly before handing it over, but I agree with you. There's going to be 85,000 plus, I'm sure. And if Auburn can get out to a quick start or get a lead, they will be loud. And I just don't think this is an easy win for Arkansas. I think stopping Tank Bigsby and Robbie Ashford on the RPO game is going to be a difficult deal. However, the conditions seem to be right. Maybe if you can get on top of Auburn, you can get them down, and maybe they don't hold the rope as long. And it is an 11 o'clock kickoff. And, you know, a big section of the fan base is not happy with Brian Harsin, and the prospects don't look good for him. So if you total it all up, it's right there on the table. I think Nathan Back said this on Pittman's radio show last night. They've basically challenged us that it's there for you. You got to go and take it.
When we were in Arlington a few weeks ago was when they played Missouri in an 11 a.m. kickoff. Scotty, you and I were watching that game, and I just feel like it's going to be maybe more like that in terms of when they would pan around Jordan-Hare Stadium. I think you told me something like it felt like a dead man walking game. You know, it's just there was no life in the stadium, a lot of empty seats. I don't know. I'd be surprised if there were 85,000 people there.
Yeah, I'm with Tom. I still think no matter, you know, what Auburn's record is, or, you know, if there's apathy that's set in with Auburn football, I don't even know if you could call it apathy, because I still think that people care that Brian Harsin's their head coach. And I think it may be more dead man walking just because you can never see Brian Harsin's eyes. And so he just, the rest of him just kind of looks a little bit lifeless to me. And he's kind of stoic. I feel like a little bit. I haven't watched just a ton of Auburn this year because they haven't been the most aesthetically pleasing team on either side of the football. But, you know, I've long thought that Dalton Wagner and Trey Knox are two of the more quotable guys that are on Arkansas's roster. And they're, you know, they speak what's on their mind a lot more so than other guys sometimes that we get to talk to us on Tuesdays. And both of those guys this week were super transparent with just about the way that 2020 game ended. And Dalton Wagner has been here for, I think, 6 years. He's been here, I think, God, since like the spring of 2017. So he's pretty much seen it all. Got a lot of perspective on the series. And he just said that the 2020 game just still bugs him. And I think it was Tom that asked him if the game stuck in his craw, and he laughed and said, yeah, but I think deep down, this is a game that he really wants. And Trey Knox pointed out that just whatever it is about Auburn and facing Auburn, Arkansas just hasn't played its game in years. I think maybe the game in 2020 was the best that they played against Auburn in a long time. And that average margin of victory is pretty good indication of that. Trey said that they just, for whatever reason, come out flat against Auburn. And I think both teams are going to be pretty well rested. I think Arkansas's defense getting a little bit healthier, especially in the secondary, and guy like Bumper Pool maybe, you know, got a little bit of R&R with that hip that he's been battling through. I think it's a really good opportunity for Arkansas to hone in on the run and then say, hey, if you're going to beat us with the pass, go for it. Because Auburn's not had much luck, I don't think, passing the ball this year. And, you know, I think Arkansas has got a golden opportunity to run the ball on Auburn. I think they go into the week in last place in the SEC in rushing yards allowed, and it's not particularly close.
I think part of this probably is because Auburn's personnel has maybe regressed just a little bit the last couple of years. But I thought during the teeth of that losing streak, say like from 16 to 19, when the scores were just really outrageous, that you could really see a big difference between Arkansas and Auburn up front along the line of scrimmage. I've told this story a few times. I was covering an Arkansas baseball game in 2018. So I did not go to the spring football game down in Little Rock that day. And I was watching the Razorback spring football game, and it was so striking that when that one went off the air, Auburn came on, and just the difference in their linemen and the linemen that I had just seen on TV from Arkansas, there was something about that contrast that really stuck with me. And then you saw it in the games, you know, during those years. But I think Arkansas has really caught up along the line of scrimmage, Tom. And I think that's going to be one of the areas that's real key to this game this weekend. There's not a Big Cat Bryant, a Derek Brown, a Marlon Davidson, any of those types, I think, on the Auburn defensive front anymore.
Well, I mean, Derek Hall's a really good one. He had the strip sack last year. But I think in total, yes, I think you're right. I think Arkansas does match up with them a lot better. I think this O-line with Dalton kind of leading the way and Stromberg's and some strong voices on that are going to say, look, this is our game. We've got to dominate. And I think they're going to give a very good effort. The game in 20, you know, Arkansas fought back from a deficit in that game. Bigsby was running very, very well. And, you know, Felipe Franks kept his composure. It was probably one of the best games ever for Devion Warren. He caught the go-ahead touchdown pass in the fourth quarter, and then the calamity ensued. But I do think Arkansas matches well in the trenches. And look, guys, Auburn has a very big and a very veteran offensive line. I don't know what their issues have been, but these are veteran guys. I know they lost their center, and I think they're one of their tackles, Austin Troxell, is questionable for this game. So they're probably down in personnel a little bit, and who knows? I mean, maybe the scheme and just the way everything meshes for this particular group just hasn't gone the way the Auburn coaches thought it would.
The thought is that Arkansas is probably going to have a pretty good chance to run the ball in this game. Sanders, Rocket Sanders, leads the SEC in rushing. He leads the SEC in yards from scrimmage. 870 rushing yards, 1,059 yards from scrimmage. I wrote this during the bye week, by the way. His 1,059 yards from scrimmage are 29 more than Darren McFadden had through seven games in 2007 when he was the Doak Walker Award winner and the Heisman runner-up. So there's that. McFadden, of course, had the great end of that season, including the 321-yard game against South Carolina. You know, but from a statistical standpoint, Sanders is kind of right there with him right now through seven games, at least in terms of yards from scrimmage. McFadden had a little bit more rushing. But Auburn's the worst rush defense in the SEC, one of the worst in the country, and it's really not close. Scotty wrote this week that, you know, they're basically, what is it, Vanderbilt is 13th, and there's a pretty big gap between Vanderbilt and Auburn, Scotty?
Yeah, so I was looking at cfbstats.com, and you can look at, you know, long plays from scrimmage, whether it's running the ball or throwing the ball, and you can look at what defenses have allowed in this season, and Auburn ranks 100th in the FBS with 40 rushes of 10-plus yards allowed, and they're also last in the SEC and 119th nationally in 20-plus yard rushes allowed with 15, and Vanderbilt is next to last with 12. So that Auburn defense has given up some chunk plays, buddy. And you have to believe that Sam, the offensive staff, especially Cody Kennedy, they're just kind of probably going to put in a plan that's a little bit similar to South Carolina, where it's just like, hey, we're going to try to lean on you and make you tap out. And, you know, you might get tired, but we're going to keep, you know, kind of running backs in there, whether it's Rocket, AJ Green, DeBinion, anybody else, KJ Jefferson too, for that matter. I think Arkansas is just going to come at Auburn early and often, but I think there's still going to be some semblance of balance from that offense. I think Tom had a great story today just about how they're like, Arkansas has just never been this balanced on offense before. And it was like really evident in the BYU game that Arkansas could just legitimately turn around and hand the ball off to Rocket or whoever and pick up, you know, good yardage that keeps you ahead of the chains or ahead of schedule, but they still threw it and they still had success. So I just think Arkansas has got to be leery of DJ James, a cornerback there. He's really, really good. I think a matchup to watch is him against Matt Landers, who had a kind of a confidence boosting game at BYU. But I think Arkansas is going to definitely try to establish the run. They do that every Saturday, but lean on that run game a little bit, but they'll still hit Auburn with the pass too.
The Hogs have had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. Auburn's had 2 weeks to prepare for Arkansas too. Both of the teams are coming off a bye week. Ole Miss, when they played Auburn 2 weeks ago, I think they had three separate 100 yard rushers in that game, and they ran for over 400 yards against Auburn. So, you know, I tend to agree that I think Arkansas probably feels like it might be able to exploit some areas against Auburn the way that it did against BYU a couple of weeks ago, although with BYU it was more in the passing game. Sam Pittman on his radio show this week, he's talked about it in his press conferences too, just the way that Auburn has been kind of resilient this year, given everything that's going on. He made a comment on his radio show on Wednesday night that I thought was kind of interesting. He said sometimes the media can crush a team, basically, you know, when there's negative media about a team, about a person, about a player, whatever it might be, a coach, that can crush a team, that it can divide the team. And he said that, you know, in watching Auburn, it doesn't really feel like that's been the case, because they were close with LSU in the fourth quarter. They were down, I think, 21-7 to Georgia going into the fourth quarter. They were in the Ole Miss game in the fourth quarter a couple of weeks ago, and those are three pretty good teams. I think it was just a matter of they got outmanned toward the end of those games. But, you know, certainly they haven't, to borrow the Houston Nutt phrase, they haven't let go of the rope yet, Tom.
No, I don't think they have. But the thing is, they have improved since that Missouri game, which even though I was just listening on the radio, I could feel the sluggishness of that game coming through the radio. And both teams basically just trying to give the game away in the fourth quarter. It was really kind of bizarre. So they've improved a lot since then. And I do believe that there's a strong desire on their part to show the people, you know, we can still be a good team. The problem that you face when you're losing like Auburn is right now, and the writing appears on the wall, that when you have an open day, you start hearing from more factors, and people maybe start playing for themselves a little bit more. And if you can get on top of a team like that, sometimes it's easier for them to mentally check out of a game. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but you look at A&M, you know, what's going on with them is somewhat similar. People are, you know, guys are going in the transfer portal. It's happened at Auburn this week. And it just starts kind of peeling away your team confidence. But I tell you guys, I do believe that ball security is still an issue for Arkansas, and they're going to have to win it. If they can win it 3-1 the way they did against BYU, I think that's a formula for a victory. And so turnover margin and kicking game stuff, because Arkansas has given up a lot of scores against Auburn in the kicking game the last decade, those are both going to be huge factors in this one.
Yeah, I know we've talked about ball security on a couple other podcasts being kind of a key to the game. And I think coming off a bye week, it might be something that they stressed in practice. And something I'm interested to see is just how often that they elect to run on design runs with KJ Jefferson. Because I know in the beginning of the season, they talked about maybe wanting to have him stay in the pocket and utilize his arm as a passer a little bit more. But I believe he's on pace to record a career high in rushing, and that's including the game he missed. So, I mean, he's running the ball about 15 times a game, and I don't know if that's sustainable.
He just played lights out, I thought, a couple of weeks ago against BYU, the 5 touchdown passes. And just, you know, like I think about the play where he extended it and broke 2-3 tackles in the backfield and was able to get the ball off to Trey Knox for a 41-yard gain. Those are just winning plays. And I think for anybody who thought that Arkansas – I don't know that anybody had thought Arkansas had quit on the season. But, you know, there was a lot of people who thought that the season might be going south after they lost those three games. I thought that one play was indicative of the fact that there's still a lot of fight in the football team.
Yep, no question about that. And Scotty asked Sam Pittman a good question yesterday, which was what he thinks about KJ's road performances. And so that got me to thinking, and I dug up this stat today. If you count the Missouri game from 2020, the spot start for Felipe, but you exclude the Outback Bowl. So regular season games away from home, there's been 8 games, and KJ Jefferson has a 19-1 TD to interception ratio in those games. The one pick was the Hail Mary heave at halftime against Ole Miss. So basically, his delivery has been on target or somewhere defenders cannot get to it. And his efficiency rating in those games is about 171. So in other words, his stats are just as good or possibly even a tick better in road games during that time. And he's just one of those dudes. And that's what Sam Pittman's response was, that KJ is just one of those guys. He knows he's the guy. He knows the fans are, you know, there to boo him and all that, and he just has delivered. Now, it hasn't all been wins, but KJ, like the Ole Miss game, he puts his heart out there, he plays his butt off, and gives his team a chance to win.
Well, and even like in 2019, he started the LSU game the week after Chad Morris had gotten fired. And, you know, the offense wasn't great with him playing in there, and then he gets knocked out in the second quarter. But even, you know, when he's in there, I think the game was a lot closer maybe for the first 15 minutes or so than people would have anticipated with that great LSU team.
Man, he just gives his team a chance to win. And I think that's like Tom mentioned, a couple of the games that he's played really, really well in on the road, his performance in itself statistically and the way that he led the offense was good enough to win the game, and his defense has just let him down. And that's like, if you want to go win this weekend, I think he's going to have to get some help from that defense that's, you know, getting some pieces back. Miles Slusher coming back is really important. And Matt, you wrote this in the keys that, you know, Barry Odom said after, I think it was spring ball, that Miles Slusher might be as athletic or capable of doing pretty much anything on defense as anybody on that roster. And I think, you know, Arkansas is leaning a lot on its offense right now, or it definitely was before the bye week, but they need to get back to playing complimentary football and not just banking on KJ, you know, going on the field with the offense and them engineering like an 8-play, 75-yard drive all the time. Like that right there is not sustainable, I don't think, because you're not going to play defenses like BYU's, you know, the rest of the season. And I don't know if what Arkansas did at BYU is less impressive now, given what Liberty did to them. But still, like, you've got to get back to playing some more complimentary football. And if KJ puts up crazy numbers like he has in some games on the road in the past, you know, I think Arkansas's they got a really good shot. But that defense needs to come up with some takeaways and you know, just help out the offense a little bit.
For those who don't know, Tom covered Alabama for the Mobile Press Register for almost a decade. So Tom, you've been kind of right there in the thick of this Auburn stuff. I know you didn't cover Auburn, but you've been around them. It is a really strange place when it comes to coaches. You think about Brian Harsin, the fact that, you know, he's maybe two games into his second season, there's already people who want him out. And, you know, and as the season's gone along, it feels like that's grown. And like you said, it feels like the writing might be on the wall for him. It's just such an odd dynamic at Auburn when it comes to coaches, isn't it?
Yeah, it's because they have such powerful boosters, and if certain people turn on you, it could be trouble. You know, Gene Chizik wins national championship, gone 2 years later. Gus Malzahn was, you know, beating Alabama on occasion, played for the national championship in his first season, had some outstanding, I mean, the kick six game and all that, those things, and yet it just wasn't good enough. And you know, that's kind of repeated itself. And certainly Brian Harsin was not, you know, in his background, an Auburn man, not even from the South. So it was an interesting hire. He left his comfort zone up in Boise, and it just hasn't gelled very well. The recruiting classes, as you mentioned earlier, are down a little bit. And I think they've had some guys go in the portal. And, you know, with Alan Green, the guy who hired him, now, you know, out now, I just don't see really any way that this season is recoverable or his tenure is sustainable after it's over.
I mean, that's always the first move, right? The AD goes, and then there's no cushion there for the coach left against, you know, the rest of the power brokers, whether it be inside the university or out. We saw it here, you know, with Jeff Long, and then Brett Bielema gone 12 days later. Georgia Tech fired their head coach this year and their AD, I think, on the same day. And I think that was the point when Alan Green, and I don't guess he technically got fired. I think they announced it as, you know, kind of a mutual separation, or he was stepping down. But, you know, I think everybody kind of felt like whenever he was gone, that kind of removed that last hurdle for them to let Harsin go at some point this year.
Yeah, I just don't think the Auburn head coaching job is as desirable as it's maybe perceived, just because I think Gus Malzahn had them at their peak, and I think he kind of got a raw deal. He was taking them to national championship games. He had a winning record in every season, and just that he went 5-4 in that last season before he got fired, but that was against an all SEC schedule. And so even that's not as bad as you look at it with perspective. And I think the boosters there maybe are thinking that the program should be a little better than it can than its capability really is. And I don't think that they're on the road to a quick recovery. I think that program's probably going to be down in the dumps for a little bit. But I think when you look at how the other schools in the SEC West, like Arkansas, have moved up and Ole Miss and become more competitive and leveled the playing field against Auburn, who's obviously always going to be second fiddle in their own state as long as Nick Saban's coaching the Tide. It's just not a very desirable job for, I would think, for top-level head coaching candidates.
That's a good point about Malzahn in that 5-4 season. That might be an 8-4, 9-4 type season under normal circumstances for him. And it just always felt like he was coaching for his job over the last, 4 or 5 years that he was there. I think in 2016, a lot of people felt like that game where Auburn and LSU played and Les Miles got fired the next day, that the loser of that game was going to get fired regardless of what happened, you know, or based on what happened that night. The fact that he was able to kind of, hold off those forces for another 4 or 5 years was probably a credit to him. And the other thing, Tom, you know this as well as anybody, but the other thing that's working against whoever gets the Auburn job right now is not just what Alabama's doing, but Georgia's a huge rival for them as well, not just on the field, but for the recruits in that South Georgia, Eastern Alabama area.
Yeah, it really is. And Georgia's getting its share again, even though a lot of teams come in there and poach. Georgia's won several in a row in that rivalry. So, hey, look, the bottom line is in the SEC West, Nick Saban has fired a lot of coaches, and it is tough to keep up. And Malzahn won a few, but I guess it wasn't enough. But if they can't find the right man, it's going to be, as long as Saban is there, as Andrew pointed out, it's going to be a tough battle competing with Alabama right there in their own state.
Isn't that amazing? Malzahn beat Saban 3 times and still got fired. The Whole Hog Football Podcast is sponsored by Kendall King. Design, displays, signage, KendallKing.com. That's KendallKing.com.
The Kendall King Group family of companies plays to win, just like our hogs. We know how demanding retail marketing is today. From digital omnichannel creative services, through in-store signing and displays, and finally to social influence, we've got you covered. Our KKG Inc. family of companies, Kendall King, ShopCart Creative, and Soapbox Influence are winning with multiple retailers and brands. We play to win and we'll be a winning partner for all your retail marketing service needs. Go Hogs!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
In addition to Arkansas-Auburn this weekend, this is for an exhibition game against the Longhorns. That'll be a 3 o'clock tip-off. There's no TV for the game. The Longhorn Network originally was going to televise it. Now they won't. There's not going to be any radio in Arkansas either due to the football game. But Scotty's going to be down in Austin for us, so you can follow along live on that game if you want to on our live updates at WholeHogSports.com. And then after the game, of course, Scotty will have full coverage from Austin, talking to Eric Musselman, players and others from the Razorbacks exhibition game against Texas. It's going to be the first game at the new $375 million Moody Center, which replaces the Irwin Center as Texas basketball home. So hope you'll come by this weekend to read all of our coverage, not only from the Auburn game, but from that Texas basketball game as well. Prediction time. There are 5 games in the SEC this week. They all match up SEC teams. 4 teams are off this week within the conference. And we'll start prediction-wise with a game between Missouri and South Carolina. Believe it or not, these two teams play for a rivalry trophy. It's I can't remember what the trophy's called, but it's basically centered around the fact that both of them play in towns called Columbia. And Tom, I think that tells you all you need to know about how far rivalry trophy games have gone.
Oh, Matt Harsh. Yeah, and you know, South Carolina won theirs against A&M last week for the first time in ever.
Why does South Carolina have a rivalry trophy with A&M? I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Although I do like the history of the Bonham Trophy between those two. Missouri is just not explosive enough right now. I do think that they're probably going to give a good effort against South Carolina. Might be a little bit of a letdown after Carolina defeated Texas A&M last week. But I think they've got enough to hold them off and win the game at home.
Yeah, I like South Carolina too. It's been kind of surprising to me a little bit seeing that team, I guess, have the success that it's had lately. What are they, won four straight games? I wasn't super impressed with them when they came to Arkansas, but you know, they've got some you know, pretty good road wins, I would say, for a team that's trying to build. I think those are the kinds of games that on the road that you need to win to kind of get your program where you want it to be. So I'll go with South Carolina. They've impressed me lately.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I also took South Carolina in this game, and really, I'm not thoroughly impressed with either of these programs. I mean, South Carolina had the win over A&M that we mentioned earlier, but even that doesn't seem as glorious as it would have been in the preseason. But Mizzou with a 3-point win over Vanderbilt last week, and they didn't score against Vanderbilt in the second half. That just kind of is the nail in the coffin for my decision to go with South Carolina.
Tom's an AP top 25 voter, and I made sure to check that he didn't put South Carolina on his ballot this week, and thank goodness he didn't. I was shocked at the fact that they're in the top 25 this week. Just when you look at the teams that they've beaten, I mean, they got crushed by Georgia. You could maybe make a similar argument for the Arkansas game, although they were able to score a lot of points in the second half and make that game a little bit closer than it probably was. But outside of that, they've beaten Georgia State, they've beaten Charlotte, South Carolina State, beat Kentucky on the road when Kentucky was out without its starting quarterback, Will Levis, and they beat Texas A&M last week. This just, it does not feel like a top 25 team to me, but neither does Missouri. So I think South Carolina wins the Battle of Columbia. Is that what it's called? I don't know. I think they win that game this week in South Carolina. We mentioned A&M. They will host Ole Miss this week, and it feels like the wheels are falling off of the Jimbo Fisher bus down in College Station, Tom.
It does, and I went with the old upset on this one. I think they're going to find a way to rally, and I picked them. Now, stopping Ole Miss is going to be tough, but I do think the Aggies have a decent defense, and there's going to be a little bit of pride at stake, and they're at home. So I went against the grain, y'all. I picked the Aggies.
A&M's got a bad run defense. Ole Miss can run the ball. I got Ole Miss by a bunch.
Yeah, I also went with Ole Miss. I just think they have more to play for, more hope left in their season. So I think they'll be more desperate for a win.
Jimbo Fisher's at his press conference telling recruits, like, why would you want to go to a program that wins?
I heard that. Isn't that amazing?
That's a pretty sad state right there.
That's when coach speak comes back to bite you in the rear end. You know, all the problems that are going on at A&M this week, you know, the players suspended, it just feels like this might be one of those times where we're talking Auburn hasn't let go of the rope yet. I think A&M might be, they might have let go of the rope and they're falling off the cliff at this point. And the fact that I think Ole Miss is going to be really motivated and mad based on what happened to them last week in LSU, losing that game against the Tigers. I think Ole Miss wins this game maybe by quite a bit, Scotty.
That statement that he made about why do you want to go play for a winning program and maybe have to wait around for a while, that might end up being his version of Chad Morris's, yeah, that locker room is fragile type statement. Like that you just cannot say that. You just can't.
It's almost like he's begging to get that $86 million buyout from
Tank. Maybe he's got it figured out. I mean, if I could say something like that and get 85 mil, I'd probably do the same thing.
I mean, Tom talks about the Auburn boosters have control of the program. I don't know if any, you know, set of boosters have control quite like they do at A&M. And my goodness, they like to throw money around there, don't they? Florida goes to Jacksonville with Georgia this week. It's the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, although I don't think that it's PC to call it that anymore. They've watered it down. But the Gators play the number one Bulldogs in Jacksonville, Tom.
Is it too late for me to change my Texas A&M pick? Y'all just convinced me the other way. I'll just say this. Florida's just been too inconsistent on offense. I think Georgia wins this game by a couple, three touchdowns.
Yep, same here. I think Georgia big.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I don't think Georgia has been as impressive as I thought they were going to be coming out in the early part of the season, but the 42-10 win against Auburn, 55-0 shutout against Vanderbilt, they've got it rolling, and I expect it to continue.
I wonder if Georgia might shut out Florida because Florida's offense has been so bad, and that Georgia defense is elite. And by the way, I'm still looking at Brock Bowers for the Heisman Trophy. I think he is incredible. What Georgia does with him at tight end, probably not a lot of people are looking at him, but if you were just to line up every, say, best player at their position in college football, I don't know that there would be a better linebacker than Brock Bauer is a tight end, or a better quarterback than he is a tight end. I think he's incredible what they do with him, and I haven't seen a team use a tight end like that in a long, long time. The SEC game of the week is going to be between Kentucky and Tennessee. And because CBS chooses the cocktail party before the season, they miss out on this game. And so Tennessee gets a night game at Neyland against Kentucky, which is coming off a bye week.
Is there a letdown factor from Tennessee? Yeah, I think there probably will be a little. But they are on the brink of having a golden-type year. And I don't think Josh Heupel lets it get to the point where Kentucky can pull off the upset. I love Kentucky's defense, I really like Kentucky's defense. So there are probably going to be some wrinkles and some things that slow down Hendon Hooker a little bit. But that offense has got it rolling for the Volunteers. When you score 52 on Bama and win on a last-second field goal, you're feeling pretty good. I'm going to pick the Volunteers. I'm not sure what the spread is, but maybe take the points if you're for Kentucky.
The spread is 12.
I think when Tennessee is really good, that's maybe, to me, might be top three or four home environments in the country. And I think they're calling for a blackout or a smokeout or something like that. And Tennessee's rolling out the first black helmets they've ever worn, I think, in the history of mankind. So that's going to be unique. And I think Tennessee's just super well-rounded. Hendon Hooker's really, really good. Puts up just absurd numbers. And then I think the Hyatt kid at receiver, anytime you catch four or five touchdown passes against Bama, you know, against some pretty quality DBs, like that's just pretty unheard of. I like Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm all on the Volunteer bandwagon. I think I would be more afraid of a trap game if it was against maybe a lower level opponent, but it's still a top 20 matchup. So I think it's going to be a big game that they're going to get up for. And I think they're going to win it by a large margin.
You guys remember that? Was it a whiskey barrel they used to play for between Kentucky and Tennessee? I haven't seen that thing in a long time. Tom, you remember that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And I think Heupel was asked about it right after Sam Pittman's segment on the SEC teleconference this week. And he said he wasn't aware of its whereabouts. And that's about the time I hung up. So I think, you know, the promotion of alcoholic stuff is maybe on the way out.
Yeah, that's what I remember about the game. When I was younger, that and the fact that it felt like Peyton Manning threw about 500 yards every time they played Kentucky. I really want to go with Kentucky in this game, but just the fact that Tennessee's been, you know, so dominant and so good offensively the last several weeks makes me hesitant to pick Kentucky, because Kentucky, they just don't score a lot of points. I did get it right when Kentucky beat Mississippi State, and I think it, you know, and I said then, and I think it this week, that Kentucky's defense, especially its pass defense, is really good. And I think Mark Stoops is really good at scheming for, you know, really good passing games. And they've had 2 weeks to do it. I just have a hard time going against Tennessee with how they've been playing and how they've been scoring. You know, like last year, they scored 45 against Kentucky. Well, this is a better offense than Tennessee took up to Lexington last year. I think they find a way to get it done, although it would not surprise me if you find Tennessee sleepwalking through this game for a little bit, just given the fact that everybody's talking about that game next week down in Athens between Georgia and Tennessee. I'm going to go with Tennessee, but it wouldn't surprise me to see Kentucky pull off the upset if they can hold Tennessee, say, below like a 20-point threshold, which seems unlikely. And then Arkansas-Auburn game, as we said, 11 a.m. SEC Network. The Razorbacks have lost 6 straight in this series, and they have not won at Jordan-Hare Stadium since 2012. Tom?
You know, I didn't just give this slam dunk status to Arkansas. I think it's going to be a very tough out. I think they're going to have to win the turnover battle to get it. But I do think the incentive is strong, and I went with the Razorbacks.
Yeah, I did too. I think Arkansas's advantage on the ground just makes a world of difference. And then, you know, we talked at length just about the success that KJ has had in road venues. He's a guy throughout his career that's been really efficient, and he hasn't put many passes in harm's way. Like, I used to chart his interceptable throws, and they were just like minuscule. It was like one every couple games or 3 or 4 games. And he's just thrown, he hasn't thrown an interception on the road in his career on a standard passing down or a standard pass play. And that's pretty wild to me. And I think Arkansas's offensive line is going to have to handle Auburn's edge guys. They've got a few playmakers that can wreck a game, Sam Pittman said earlier in the week. I like Arkansas's ability to handle that. It's Arkansas's, their O-line is, I mean, they're up for the Joe Moore Award. They've been solid all year. I think second half defense is really big for Arkansas too. Like Auburn, since the last time these teams met, they've been held to 6 or fewer points. Auburn's offense has in the second half of games 8 times. So that, I mean, I think Arkansas's second half D has got to bring it. They've got to find a way to come up with some takeaways.
Yeah, I've got Arkansas, and I just think much how the stars aligned for everything going against Arkansas when they went to Mississippi State, I think everything's kind of coming together for them in the right way against Auburn, just with Auburn having the worst rushing defense and being so one-dimensional on offense that Arkansas, as Scotty mentioned, if they get some early first half points, they could maybe coast to a win.
I've got Arkansas just because of want to. I don't know what kind of want to Auburn has anymore. I know that they've, you know, stayed competitive into their games, but you know, it feels like this is the type of team, and I think Tom mentioned this earlier, that kind of at the sign of the first thing going wrong, that's when you can maybe get a team like this off of its heels, and I think Arkansas might be able to do that on Saturday. I'm with Scotty. I think they're going to be able to run the ball quite a bit. Arkansas's got to stop Tank Bigsby. He had a good game against Ole Miss last week, but he's been kind of inconsistent before that. He didn't have a good game against Georgia, had kind of a very mediocre stretch for his history, for lack of a better term, during the weeks 2 through 5. Had 179 yards against Ole Miss. I think he only had 179 yards during that 4-game stretch before Georgia, when he went for 19 yards. He's hurt Arkansas quite a bit the last couple of years. I think if they can hold him in check, I think Arkansas is going to be able to run the ball. And I think that they're going to be able to, you know, wear down Auburn late in that game. Third quarter is really interesting, and Scotty brought this up, the fact that Auburn does not score a lot of points in the second half. Arkansas' second half offense has been getting a lot better, especially in the third quarter. You take away that Mississippi State game when they didn't have KJ Jefferson. They scored 16 points in the third quarter against Alabama. They scored 14 points at BYU 2 weeks ago. I think that they're getting a lot better coming out of the locker room offensively. So I like Arkansas, and I like the fact that they're trying to end the 6-game losing streak. I think that that's a pretty big motivating factor too. Again, Arkansas and Auburn, 11 o'clock on Saturday. Arkansas and Texas basketball, 3 o'clock on Saturday as well. And come to WholeHogSports.com for our coverage of both of those games. Tom will be in Auburn, Scotty will be in Austin, and Andrew and I will still be here in Fayetteville running the show. We hope you'll come to our website this week for all of our Razorback coverage, and we hope to see you next week on the Whole Hog Football Podcast as we review Auburn and look ahead to the game against Liberty. For Scotty Bordelon, Andrew Joseph, and Tom Murphy, I'm Matt Jones. Have a great weekend, everyone.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.